Hey everyone, and welcome to Chef AJ Live. I'm your host, Chef AJ, and this is where I introduce you to amazing people like you who are doing great things in the world that I think you should know about. Well, today is the third Tuesday of the month, which means it's time for vinegar and spice and everything nice with Thomas Allen of California Balsamic and Nick DeVorn of Local Spicery, where they feature their incredible SOS-free products in whole food plant-based dishes and show you how to make them and also give you the recipe. Today, we're going to start first with Nick. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. How have you been, AJ?
I'm good. I'm so excited. We were talking before we logged on that for the first time, Ann Esselstyn has six, maybe more than 6 of your spices, and I'm so excited for her to try them.
Well, I'd love to get some feedback and see what she thinks. We've been following the Esselstyns for some time, so we think a great deal of them.
Well, I am so excited that she has your product. So you're going first today. What are you making?
So we're going to be talking about two blends. One is our Gignon and one is our Depth. And both of them I'm using to make a vegan Kung Pao, which includes making an SOS-free hoisin sauce.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. I wish that these existed, you know?
Well, it's not a perfect recipe because I don't know if you caught. I didn't say SOS free Kung Pao. I am using a low sodium soy sauce, and I just can't find anything that replaces that satisfies me. People that have their own workarounds for soy sauce, you can see in the recipe where it is and what they do with it, but. So I was shocked, absolutely shocked. I been cooking using hoisin sauce most of my life, and I think for the first time I actually read the label, and I couldn't believe how much salt is in it because it's not a salty flavor. It's a you know it's really kind of a sweet, tangy flavor. It was you know. You might wonder, I mean, with all of the different ingredients you use to cook Chinese, why did I jump in and say I'm going to make my own hoisin sauce? And mostly, it was I just couldn't believe that it had here's a jar of commercial hoisin sauce, and 1 tablespoon has 22% of your RDV of sodium, and on top of that, the number one ingredient in it is brown sugar, and this is as you know. Hoisin is a sauce that's made with plums, which are naturally sweet. So, I took kind of a deep dive into what it is, how to make a hoisin sauce, and why that is. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure it. But we are going to be talking about how to make your own hoisin sauce. It's really, really quick, and how to use that to make your Kung Pao. Little bit of background. Actually, let's jump in. It's going to be a little bit different today. I'm not going to be cooking the dish. The dish has been cooked. It's over here. We'll plate it. We'll show it to you. I'm going to show you all the ingredients and talk through how it gets put together. But we've already shot the actual cooking. And while I'm talking right now, Evelyn is still working editing. Our plan is, rather than make you wait through 30 minutes of me, we're going to take these things and try to tune them down to 5 to 10 minute reels, so you get just the good stuff. We get the recipe across, and hopefully, it's a better way to communicate, and it gives me a little bit more freedom when we're talking to be able to kind of address what we need to address. So I want to start by saying giving you everybody a URL, and that is www.localspicery.com. / Chef AJ. If you use that link, you will automatically be set up to receive two free, small 1 tablespoon approximately samples of SOS free spices. You can tell us which ones you want, and they'll be put in with your order if you enter using that link. Then the other thing, once you get into that link, if you click the logo, the Local Spicery logo on the top left, that'll fly you over to our homepage. And then scroll down, and you'll find as you go down, you'll see a picture that looks just like this scene behind me. And that's our blog. And if you click that blog, That's where you'll be able to find my recipes. That's where you'll be able to find links to these reels that we're going to be putting out. And for those of you that follow our newsletter, you can get you'll also get that information in the newsletter. So localspicery.com/ChefAJ. Why am I doing a Kung Pao? We got really into Chinese food because this March is Bakai time in Marysville. Bakai in Chinese religion is the river god, and we have a temple to the Bakai, the one-eyed river serpent, here in Marysville. And it's kind of a big deal in this town. If you want to plan a trip to come to Marysville, to come visit us and to really see Marysville in its best glory, plan it in March and come over Bakai weekend. It's a great time. We have an extensive parade with a parade dragon. We do the lion blessings for the businesses. All of the museums are open. Usually here at the Spicery, we're serving snacks, and this year what we were serving was this Kung Pao. This is a recipe that Evelyn put together after reviewing multiple other recipes online, and it hits my two criteria. It's really, really easy to make, and it's delicious. And it features our Xinjiang, and Xinjiang is one of our SOS free blends. It is Cantonese in nature, and it's just kind of a collection of general Cantonese flavors. It includes, it's got black pepper. It's got Szechuan peppercorn. It's got a little bit of star anise, chilies, cardamom, cassia cinnamon, coriander. Basically, it's the flavors that you get in a Chinese five spice, but it's not blended to be sweet. It's blended to be savory. And you'll find that a lot of recipes that are written, you'll find out there for Chinese food, they overuse Chinese five spice because they know that everybody has it. But it really is too sweet for most applications. And I find the Xinjiang is a much, much better blend if you're trying to get a Cantonese or Chinese flavor. It doesn't have that really, really sweet, spiky flavor of the star anise and too much cinnamon. Much, much more balanced. It carries a little bit of heat, but it's just the heat of black pepper. So it shouldn't be too hot for many of you. And a little bit goes a long way. You can use just a little bit, and it'll give you a very, very authentic flavor. And in both this and in the hoisin sauce, the flavor is absolutely perfect. I'm going to start in by just running through what goes into the hoisin sauce. Recipe is up on the website right now. And the hoisin sauce is based on, it's a plum sauce. I use dried prunes. I use sodium-free rice vinegar. We use some of the Xinjiang seasoning as well. But to compensate, if you look at what goes into a hoisin sauce, a real traditional hoisin sauce, it's got a really, really solid umami background to it. And usually that umami is coming off of what's called black bean sauce. So I thought, black bean sauce, that sounds pretty benign. I should be able to do that. But as I looked into it, Chinese black bean sauce is made from soybeans, and they're fermented, and they have a ton of salt in them. So I couldn't really go with that. So what I did do is I used our depth. And for those of you that aren't familiar with depth, depth is my umami bomb. Depth is comprised primarily of onion, of porcini mushroom, kombu kelp. It's got some tomato. But it's all the, it's got some long pepper, very important. But it's got these really, really intense umami flavors. And you can use it in this context, trying to make, Asian style sauces where they have these really, really intense umami flavors that they get from anyway. So it uses a fair amount of the depth. Works, it counteracts the sweetness of the prunes and the tanginess of the vinegar. And where is it? Looks like, thought I had it right here. Oh, here it is. I mean, it looks, smells and tastes just like the hoisin sauce that you get in the store. It basically, it's got about 9-10 ingredients. You put them in a blender and you whir them in the blender, you're done. Couldn't be easier. So that's going to be one of the ingredients that we're putting in the Kung Pao. Now, Kung Pao, I gotta be honest. Two things. First thing, who would have thought? I love Chinese food. Always, you know, it was always a favorite for us and our family. But as we started eating healthier, we really have kind of stopped going to Chinese restaurants because so many of them, they just use so much oil and there's so much salt. And for them to get their umami flavors, they add even more salt. And it's just something we don't do anymore. But if you think about what Kung Pao is, Kung Pao really is a saute of crunchy vegetables with cashews. And that's about all there is. It's got there are two basic elements to it. And we'll start with the sauce. And the sauce for the Kung Pao, actually, instead of having to cook a sauce on the stove, the sauce is, we just actually shake it up. It's all the ingredients go in the salad shaker. And the ingredients for the sauce, it includes we put a little bit of sake, and I know that's Japanese. There are Chinese rice wines. I didn't happen to have some, but I did have an open bottle of sake. Low sodium soy sauce, the sodium free rice vinegar, a little bit of cornstarch for thickening. For sweetening, we use just a little bit of like I think there's like a tablespoon of maple syrup, and the hoisin sauce. And then at the end, we grate a little bit of lime zest on top, and that's the sauce. So basically, you start with your onion saute, and the onions we do mince them fairly fine. Saute the onions down. Then the onions are getting a little bit further along, I add the pepper flakes. Pepper flakes, I think in the recipe we say put a teaspoon in. That's still fairly, you know, it does have a definite heat profile to it. And if you are not a lover of chilies and heat, you could cut that in half, cut it in half easily, or you could instead of using they are bol flakes, which we normally use, you could cut back and use maybe guajillo flakes, which are, you know, like half the heat. And then we add the minced garlic and fresh ginger. And once that's all going, then it's time to throw in the sauce, which is this, it gets dumped in, and then the vegetables. And so what are the vegetables? Basically uses a fair amount of diced celery, and you can see this is, I'd call that a little bit smaller than a quarter inch dice to a quarter inch dice. And I go a little bit bigger on the bell pepper. In this case, we use a whole green bell pepper and a half of a red bell pepper. The flavor you're going for really is that fresh flavor of the green bell pepper, but the red bell pepper offers that important color. And at that point, your sauce is basically complete. And you just cook it long. Kung Pao, as you all know, normally they add a protein source. Could be chicken, could be whatever. We're putting something in that most of you probably have sitting in your refrigerator. In fact, this is the Tupperware that was sitting in my refrigerator, and that's just some pre-cooked lentils. These are brown lentils. The brown lentils don't get mushy. They hold together better. And I just cook these with a little bit of bada bing bouillon. And I put that in. And then I just simmer it long enough to reduce the sauce down to where it's not too watery. At the end, what's it look like? Well, I've got it over here prepared, and I'll show you the dish. And we're going to plate it. If you want to... If you want the point-by-point instruction of seeing it come together, feel free to check out our little reels. But here it is in the pot. You can see those lovely colors, the reds and the greens and the cashews. I did in advance cook some rice over here. This is white rice. You know, we've been eating a ton of this this Kung Pao. It's become one of my favorite dishes, one of my favorite things to ask Evelyn to make for me. Usually we make it with brown rice. Couldn't find brown rice this morning, which is one of the realities of cooking. You go with what you have. So we're just going to put some Kung Pao on top of the rice. And I did skip a step. What I should have done is added, I like to add a little bit more acid into this. So I use some fresh lemon. I'll usually take two slices of lemon and squeeze them in and stir it up. I'm going to do a step right now. I'm just going to cut a slice, squeeze it on the top so that I do get that fresh lemon tartness on this dish. And that's it. That's a Kung Pao. Bring this up to the a little bit closer. I'll hold it for a minute. Isn't that beautiful?
That looks, oh my gosh, and it's around lunchtime. That looks amazing. Why don't you bring that to the potluck?
Maybe I'll bring this to your potluck on Sunday, AJ.
I was going to just say, why don't you bring it to, and guys, if you are in Northern California, anywhere near Sacramento, we have people coming as far as Fresno. Nick is going to be.
Prerequisite, the chef always has to take a bite at the end, which signifies, oh, this is good. It is good. And that's going to be my lunch today. So check us out. Take a look at the reel. If you have any comments on the reels, let us know. It's kind of a new thing for us. But like I said, we're just trying to clear out some of the clutter and make it simpler.
That looks amazing.
I'm having a hard time hearing right now, AJ. Are you not coming through?
You can't hear me? That's not good.
See what's going on with this.
Can you hear me, Nick?
Guys, you were in my earbuds earlier.
Yeah, if I don't know why the audience, you can hear me, right? I hope so, because Nick will be Sunday at the potluck that we have every month. If you want to join, it's Healthy Living with Lincoln and Chef AJ.
I'm gonna just say goodbye, AJ, because I really can't hear you. Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nick. And now we're going to ask Thomas to come and do his presentation with the flavor of the month. If you guys want to win or a free bottle of California balsamic or two, actually, in the flavor of your choice every month, Thomas comes on the third Tuesday and he has a flavor that he'll tell you for next month. And if you make a recipe and it's chosen to be made on Chef AJ Live, you get two free bottles shipped to you. I believe it's US only. Thomas, please come up if you're ready.
Can you hear me, Chef?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Thomas?
Are we there? There you go. You're loud and clear.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Good, good, good. Wonderful. Well, it's wonderful to see you, even though I can't see you, but I trust you're there. So life is good. Ethel and I are here for a one-week hiatus from the little Brinley six-year-old who's off seeing her family for the entire week. So all of a sudden we're empty nesters for an entire week. And I have to say, it's a lot less chaotic around here for 1 week. So life is good.
What are you going to make today, Thomas? And what is your flavor of today's month?
So let's see. So apricot is the flavor of the day. We've got three wonderful recipes from Eileen, Susan, and a young lady that we all know. Thank you very much. And so the first recipe we're going to do today is something called rice with apricot, parsley, and almonds by our friend Eileen. And I want to thank you, Eileen, for doing that. Please send us an email with what two flavors you'd like for your bonus bottles, and we'll send them off to you straight away. here's the recipe. This recipe is a good example of how using a California balsamic product can carry the entire recipe. The apricot balsamic is very flavorful, slightly sweet, but also tangy with complex layered tasting notes. It is simple to make and each bite is packed with flavor. It can be served either as a side dish or a main dish. Okay, so here we go. The ingredients are a cup of basmati rice, a cup of skin-on almonds, 1/3 cup of chopped dried apricots, 1.5 cups of finely chopped parsley, 2 tablespoons of California balsamic vinegar, more to taste if you like. Now, the directions are preheat the oven to 325 degrees, roast the almonds on a rimmed baking sheet until they're golden brown, usually somewhere in the 12-minute range. Let them cool, then chop them up. Set them aside. Rinse the rice several times, enough until the water runs clear. So get all that starch off. Bring about 4 cups of water to a boil. Add the rice and then turn down the heat and simmer for about 12 minutes. The texture should be cooked firm, should be cooked, but still firm. Remove from the heat and drain off all the water. Scatter the apricots on top of the rice and cover it and let it sit for 5 minutes, just warming up the rice and getting them a little bit, warming up the almonds, the apricots, and getting them softened up. Then fluff the rice with a fork, shake the apricot balsamic, add it to the rice and stir it to combine, mix in the parsley and almonds and serve it and enjoy it. And here are some notes. Feel free to substitute your preferred type of rice and to use your favorite method of cooking the rice. We've always used the white sticky rice in Hawaii and Japan where I lived. And so using long grain rice is a little bit different. Almonds that have already been sliced or roasted can be substituted for the whole almonds. My preference is to use the unsulfured dried apricots, which means they have been dried directly in the sun without added sulfur dioxide. They have a dark brown appearance and a much richer and sweeter taste than more common orange apricots. The texture should be moist and chewy. If you can't find them, any type of dried apricots or golden raisins can be substituted, which I didn't think about doing the raisins. And here it is, and this is one. There's the dish now. And you can, of course, add the extra apricot balsamic on it to give it an extra boost of flavor. So easy squeezy. Oh, one thing that we did. The recipe called for some sesames. We were going to roast them a little bit to make them bring out the flavor and all, but we didn't have any. So we used Nick's local spicery, bada bing, bada boom, bada bang. And this is the showstopper. Sorry. This is the showstopper. And we just sprinkled that right over the top. And we thought that was a wonderful substitute. It just gives it a nice crunch to it, along with the almonds and the spices in the showstopper. So thank you, Nick, for making such a wonderful product with that that we can add and substitute. All right. So there's recipe number one. Number two is from our good friend Susan, and it's an apricot balsamic glazed tempeh. And it's 1 block, an 8 ounce of tempeh sliced into thin strips. 1/4 cup of apricot balsamic, 2 tablespoons of tamari or soy sauce. Tamari is the winner, or if you can find a sodium-free soy sauce, good luck. 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, or to use a date syrup. 1 teaspoon of minced garlic, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, pepper to taste, and optional sesame seeds and sliced onions, green onions for a garnish. Now, instructions are, in a shallow disc, whisk together the apricot balsamic, the tamari, maple syrup, minced garlic, ground ginger, salt, and that's creating a wonderful marinade. And salt is always no salt. Place the tempeh strips in the marinade, ensuring they are evenly coated. Let them marinate for at least 30 minutes or longer if time allows, and flipping them halfway through. Ours that we did, we started marinating them last night, and they turned wonderfully dark brown, having 12 hours of marinating time. Preheat a nonstick skillet or a grill pan over medium heat. Once the skillet is hot, add the marinated tempeh strips and reserving the marinade. Cook the tempeh for about 3 to 4 minutes on each side while it's sizzling or until it's golden brown and slightly caramelized. You've got to really watch them when you turn them over because with a hot pan, they can get dark very quickly on the opposite side. So you might turn down the heat when you after you turn them over. Marinate into a small saucepan. Bring it to a simmer over medium heat and cook it for 3 to 5 minutes until it thickens and turns into a glaze. Once the tempeh is cooked and the glaze is ready, remove the drizzle the apricot balsamic glaze over the tempeh strips. Garnish with the sesame seeds and sliced green onions if you like. And serve the apricot balsamic glazed tempeh as a flavorful dish, or you can add it to salads or to a grain bowl. And so we put ours on a bed of greens, and you can see here, you can see the glaze right on top of that. And of course, you can make this a full salad or just the greens or just the grains. I mean, there's so many options for this, and even serving it, like she said, as a main dish. So that's. And the tempeh is just a fermented soy beans. Chef, how do you use tempeh if you use it?
Well, I actually have a recipe in my book Unprocessed for a Kung Pao tempeh. So I use it like as a savory kind of maybe meat
nice. Substitute.
And yeah, it's a little heartier than tofu, I think.
We found it, we had it this morning and we found it really filling. I was surprised at how dense the tempeh was, but the glaze on there makes a wonderful sauce. So we really enjoyed that one a lot. So all good. All righty here. Let's see, continuing our cute story that we've done over the last 3 years. And a lot of times we have big deals that we think are going to just rock and roll, and big deals can often go wrong as we've seen over the years. I mentioned a year ago that we had had a deal with weight loss clinics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, through one of my employees. Her father had weight loss clinics, and we were going to send 20,000 bottles a year of our oil-free clinics, and it was just going to just be the greatest thing in the world, and boom, it falls through. And about just before 2008, we had a deal with a fella in Las Vegas who had a China connection, and we were going to send, we actually did send little 5 ounce bottles of our balsamic to China for their approval. It got approved, and they said, we're going to cut a deal, and we're going to send 10,000 bottles a month for an entire year. And after that time, we'd see if they would expand it even more. And then 2008 and the financial crisis happened, and it was the end of that. So many, you know, deals that you think are right on the edge and they're going to be fantastic, you know, eventually just crap out. And it's just such a, well, we're going to go back to the drawing board and continue doing our festivals and markets, and eventually something good is going to happen. And Chef, it did. Thank you very much for coming into our lives.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a feeling.
Yeah, so yeah. Our third recipe. Well, thank you. So, and yeah, the plant-based community has changed us forever. And I just spoke with a young lady this morning who said, Thomas, your products have changed my life forever. I enjoy eating my salads and vegetables on a daily basis now because they're using whatever the flavor is that they like. So what a treat to have a relationship with our customers and ourselves. So let's see. Finally, the last one, Chef, is your recipe. Thank you very much. Be sure to send us an email with what flavors you would like for your complimentary bottles.
You. I'm so honored to be featured on my own show.
I think this is the first time we've actually done one of your absolute recipes. So this is wonderful. We liked it so much that we had to do it. So it's the apricot quinoa pudding. from the world famous Chef AJ. 1 cup of white quinoa, 1.5 cups of unsweetened plant milk, 1 cup of fresh apricots, or if not in season, a can of peaches in their own juice, and they're diced up, 1/2 cup of chopped dried apricots, unsweetened and unsulfured, 4 tablespoons of our apricot balsamic, a teaspoon of vanilla powder, and you're right, Chef, vanilla bean powder is cinnamon. To start off, place all the ingredients in your Instant Pot and cook on high pressure for 5 minutes. Let pressure release naturally. Enjoy hot in place of your usual breakfast oatmeal or chili, and make a parfait. Make a low-fat pear whip. This is for a low-fat version of the luscious pear whip for those who can't eat nuts. 2.5 cups of canned pears in their own juice, 1 cup of gluten-free rolled oats, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla powder. Blend all those in a high-speed blender until smooth. And we did it twice because we made it. It was a little gritty the first time we stopped it. We blended it even another 1 minute, and it was smooth as silk. So I love that. And a chef's tip here, substitute unsweetened jarred peaches in their own juice for the pears. If you're using fresh pears, this may not be as sweet. Consider roasting them first or adding date paste to taste. So that's that. And then she also made a strawberry coulis. This sauce is boss, as she says. It's not only pairs well with all chocolate desserts in my book, but also is delicious on ice cream or even fresh fruit. And that goes like this. A bag of frozen raspberries or strawberries or cherries and defrosted, and you can use fresh. So we use today fresh strawberries and frozen raspberries because we had them. Date paste or date syrup to taste, and we start with 1/4 cup. Puree the defrosted fruit and date paste blender until it's smooth. Add more date paste until desired sweetness is reached. Pour into a squeezed bottle and serve over dessert such as orange chocolate mousse or even this. And here's our little container. And thank you for the tip on where to get this bad boy, because yeah, that's exactly where Ethel got them.
I put that sauce on everything, rice pudding, you know, everything. It's delicious.
That's great. And I love that commercial that says, I put this beep on everything. That's it. And Chef, you also had in your notes of the vanilla caramel sauce. We didn't make that, but that's in our, it's on your video and on our show notes as well. And then we just stacked them up to make a parfait. And so we did this one with the sauce, the pear sauce on the bottom, then the strawberry coulis, and then the oats and whatnot, and then did multiple ones and made that. And then Ethel said, well, let's make a little individual one. If you were going to make a lot of them for several people, that you could do something like that in a nice cute little bowl that worked out. We had one of these just after we made it. And Chef, it's killer good.
It's really good. I know. I wish
absolutely loved it.
It's funny, Thomas, because I was just talking to somebody yesterday. I don't get a lot of views on my recipe videos, but man, that is a good recipe. And if you didn't want to do the sauces, just having it hot from the Instant Pot, it's better than breakfast oatmeal, in my opinion. Oatmeal's boring.
And that's what we did. We had that right out of the pot as well last night. And then we put, all I did was I put the right out of the pot, made a bowl, and then the strawberry coulis over the top, and that was it. And that was our little dessert that we had last night. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I can't wait for the whole thing to do that. And we had it this morning. So, Chef, you are amazing. Thank you for all your wonderful recipes that you've done for us over the years. Forward to more in the future.
When you have a delicious product.
Those are our three.
You know, I think we're having some sound problems with both you and Nick, and we should probably work that out before the next show. But I just want to say, when you're given a delicious product like California Balsamic and Local Spicery, it's very easy to come up with delicious recipes.
That is correct. So next month, the recipe of the for April, let's say in the beginning of April, we're actually going to be at the Clovis is called Big Hat Days, just south of Fresno. And they're in over that last 2 years that we've been going to that, we've had 6 to 10 plant-based people. And one husband and wife drove from Los Angeles to Fresno just to see our flavors. She said, we want to come and see them. We've taken a 2-day trip. So they spent the night in the area, came to see us, and then drove home the next day. That is devotion. That's around a 5, almost 6-hour drive. But they said they wanted to come up and try all the flavors, and they knew we'd be there. So that's wonderful. Anytime you're driving and you're coming to visit, please introduce yourself as a wonderful chefite out there, because we're still going to give you your cute little bottles for coming up there as well and seeing us at a festival. So that's good. And the flavor for next month, drum roll, please, is one of our all-time most popular flavors. Is the teriyaki balsamic.
Oh, that's easy.
Using our
that's,
teriyaki balsamic.
Mm. That's how I met you, was the teriyaki was the first flavor I used.
That's exactly right. Do you remember the recipe that you made with it?
It had to be like some kind of pineapple fried rice, I think. Yep.
That is exactly right. Good for you. Teriyaki, no fried rice. Yep. And it's still on your website, 4 years later.
Yep, that's how we met. Do you guys have any last-minute questions for Nick and or Thomas or about the products? Everything is in the show notes. And by show notes, I mean the video on YouTube right below. You click more and you'll see everything. Suzanne is saying teriyaki is used daily here. You know, and they're so, it's so good. It's so, teriyaki and Gilroy garlic are so close, but they're also so different, you know?
And the ginger in the teriyaki makes all the difference to give it, because it's just fresh garlic and our organic ginger.
Yep.
It's the only ingredients in the teriyaki.
I use my California balsamic as a dipping sauce for fresh spring rolls. Absolutely. And you wouldn't believe this. Nick might have witnessed this because Nick lives close and he sometimes comes to our meetups, but they make SOS free food for us at several vegan and even non-vegan restaurants. And you wouldn't believe how many people pull out a 3-ounce bottle of California balsamic at the restaurant. It's hilarious.
Happens every time.
It is so funny that the people do that. Yeah. It's too bad.
All is good.
I wish that they had that as a condiment, at every restaurant, just some California balsamic and some local spicery,
Well, yeah. Chef, I will say something as a little feather. Chef Ramsey's at True North is now using our California tart balsamic for their dressing at True North. And I just sent them the ginger tart balsamic and the curry tart organic balsamic for them to have. So, and that's the only place you can get it right now is at True North. So I've been trying to get Dr. Goldhammer to have our products for 4 years and we're finally in.
Oh, wow. Well, I'd love to know what they think of those flavors and maybe even taste it. The plain was a little bit too tart for me. All right.
It is very tart. I agree with you.
Thank you, Nick and Thomas. Great to see you as always. Nick, I'll see you Sunday. Anyone who's in Northern California around the Sacramento area, please go to Healthy Living in Lincoln with Chef AJ and come to our free potluck. We have 2 bands performing, as well as a live TED Talk, 18 minutes from 100-year-old Dr. John Scharfenberg on longevity. Thanks, everyone, for watching another episode of Chef AJ Live. Please come back tomorrow for 2 live shows. Yes, this is a live show. I've done it every day for almost 4 years. March 20th will be the 4th year that I've done a live show every day for almost 2,000 episodes. And tomorrow we have 2 shows. At 9 o'clock, we have Dr. Stefan Esser. He is a plant-based Harvard-educated orthopedic doctor, and he answers viewers' questions, especially the ones that have been submitted in advance. He'll be talking about exercise, among other things. And then we have another plant-based superstar at 11 a.m., Carly Budrug from Plant U, who is a New York Times bestselling, number one New York Times bestselling author of Plant U. She's got a new cookbook coming out about scrappy cooking. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.